Welcome to the Social Podcast, where no discussion or debate is off limits.
Welcome to the Social. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
Listen, journalist Andrea Bain and writer and comedian Ryan McMahon, both welcoming to the show today. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, this is great to have you all here. And guys, big entertainment news today. Big. Rihanna is going to be headlining the Super Bowl headline show. Oh my gosh. Okay, so this may be a bit of a surprise for some people. Why? Well, back in 2019, she turned down an offer to perform. Why? Out of solidarity with quarterback Colin Kaepernick. Remember, he was taking the knee and she said, why would I do that show? Okay, so she's now in. It's 2022. A lot has changed, I guess. So what's your reaction, Ryan, to the news?
Well, I think things are going to be very interesting at the Whole Foods in Calabasas. I think everyone's going to be talking about this. When they get their vegan salads.
Yes, indeed.
And low-fat almond crumble.
Sure.
For the salads. I think people are going to be mad at Rihanna in a certain neighborhood, but I think that Rihanna coming back to music is really important. I think I'm looking to see if she makes some sort of statement during the performance that might tip the hat to the
NFL. You think they'd let her?
More work to
you think
do.
They'd let her?
Well, they didn't let Snoop smoke pot on TV last year, so maybe not.
Maybe
but
not.
They did have a moment last year. You know, I mean, first of all, last year, remember the Super Bowl?
Like, incredible.
I'm still recovering.
One of the best.
I don't know what happened before or after that performance because I wasn't watching, but I know that concert was amazing.
Same.
Right?
But, you know, we know that NFL and Super Bowl in particular is notorious for not wanting to be political, but Eminem, you remember
took
this moment?
Knee.
He took the knee, and it was definitely in reference to Colin Kaepernick.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, everyone on Twitter knew it. Yeah. He didn't care.
So maybe she will do something.
I don't know if she's going to do something, but as a part of Rihanna's Navy, I'm so glad that she's back to work. Because we have been waiting. It's been 6 years since her last album, Anti, which was a fantastic album. She has been teasing us about, oh, I'm done with music. Oh, I might do something. We've seen her pictures of her going into the studio. She told British Vogue in 2020 that she's definitely getting back into music. But it's been 2 years. We heard nothing. And then she had the baby. She had so many things going on, and I understand. Like, she has Fenty Beauty. She also has her lingerie
She's
line.
She's a billionaire. She doesn't need music anymore.
Over $1.7 billion, I think the richest entertainer. I know she had things going on, but as her diehard fans, we just were like, can we just get, like, just, like, a half an album? So this news had me reeling yesterday, because now I'm thinking, okay, so that's February 12th. That's when it's going to happen. Mark your calendars. So is she going to drop some music before then? Are we going to get some new music before the Super Bowl so that we can get
like
really
Christmas
high?
Album?
A Christmas
album?
No, Rihanna's not going to
not a Christmas album.
No one needs
Rihanna's too cool for a Christmas album.
Yeah.
But to your point about Colin, I think people need to know. She, at the time, it was just, I think she was thinking about the optics of it as a black woman, where this black man was being unfairly treated by the NFL. And I think she was looking at it like, I can't be your halftime show
can
now.
Can I quote what she said at
right?
the time,
Please,
Andrea?
Quote.
May I? She said at the time when Vogue asked her about being asked to do the Super Bowl halftime show, she said, I couldn't dare do that. For what? Who gains from that?
Yeah.
Not my people. Mm. I just couldn't be a sellout. I couldn't be an enabler. There's things within that organization that I do not agree with at all, and I was not about to go out and be of service to them in any way.
So what's changed?
I'll tell you what's changed. Colin tried out for the NFL. He's done it twice, but he just recently tried out for the Las Vegas Raiders earlier this spring. So if Colin's okay and is still trying to get back into the NFL, well, then Rihanna's kind of like, okay, well, if you're cool with it and you're trying to get back into that organization, I guess we're cool. I know there's been lots of discussions between Jay-Z and a lot of other black artists.
Who's executive producing the show,
exactly, which could be the reason why she's there, because, you know, she's with Roc Nation. But they've had that discussion. I feel like if you're having an issue with something and I'm like, okay, I'm standing with you, and then I see that you're okay with things, well, then I'm going to go, okay, then I can step forward and I'll do this now. And it's the perfect foray. Although I must say, Over 100 million people watch the halftime show. Is this how you want to come back? A little pressure? No? You just had a baby?
I find it interesting that we're sitting here talking about Rihanna and the Super Bowl, and we're not talking about the NFL and their vow to change, right? So I think it's a valid question, like what has changed, and are the markers moving in the NFL? Are there more black coaches? Are there more people of color making decisions at the NFL at executive levels? The answer is no.
Yeah.
And so let's leave Rihanna to do what she does best, and that is perform and bring happiness to people. And let's continue to look at the NFL as those responsible for the actual conversation that we're trying to have.
Yeah, I love that point because I think there's a lot of reasons why Rihanna would do the show.
Yeah.
She hasn't been around with music in a long time. We haven't
seen
a lot of her. How many?
6 years.
6 years, thank
you. How many minutes?
How many minutes?
140,000 yeah. hours,
exactly.
26 minutes.
If she's going back to music, perhaps Fenty will drop in price, so my credit card doesn't take the hit it does when I buy my teenage daughter's Fenty Beauty.
As a Fenty purchaser myself, help a young woman of color out.
But this is
and
what
buy
I'm saying. I'm not going to get in the way of Rihanna and her
making her money.
Because the second that an artist, even though they have to pay for the entire halftime show themselves, did you know, they don't get paid for that.
Yep.
She's going to front the money. It's true. The Rock Nation, Jay-Z, and Rihanna, they will be fronting the money for her
Which
show.
Which means you should be buying
However,
more lip gloss.
But the problem, it's not the problem. The money she's going to get back from all the streaming that's going to happen from her music, she's going to make that money four times over. But has it changed? Can we keep Rihanna and her performance and her participation separate from the fact that there's a big case in the NFL right now, quarterback Deshaun Watson? And if anybody has been following this story, it's not race related per se. What has happened is that 24 women have just come forward accusing him of inappropriate sexual behavior. Mm-hmm. They were massage therapists.
Yeah.
And initially there was sort of like a slap on the wrist penalty given to him. And then all of a sudden the NFL realized, oh, whoa, whoa, it's not enough. And they actually came forward as a league and said he needs a stiffer suspension, 11 games, $5 million. But this guy's also a superstar player.
Yeah.
So the question is, how much has changed? Should Rihanna wear that, or she should be kept out of this discussion? And like you said, Ryan, the focus be put on where it needs to be put on and leave the girl alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think that's
a great, great conversation, but I don't think the pressure should be on an artist who's asked to entertain the crowd that's there with a very nice family-friendly show to also wear what this organization for the past, I don't know, 50, 60 years has been doing wrong. I just think that's too much. It's not her responsibility. That's
but
their responsibility.
But she spoke out on it. I guess that's why.
She spoke out at a particular time because she knows Colin. I think she was just like, I'm solidarity with my friend. Mm-hmm. I can't do this. Optics-wise, this is not the time. How could I be this person that when we look back in history, do I want to be the black person who stood on stage while they were persecuting this other black player? I can't be that person, which I think that's what she was saying. But again, now that Colin's tried to get back into the NFL several times. It hasn't worked out. Yes, the NFL has those issues, but are we going to hold an artist, because we didn't hold J-Lo to that same standard when she performed and she did a great performance. We're not going to hold anybody else who performs. I don't think it's fair to put it on her shoulders. It's not her responsibility, but I am looking forward to her coming back. We are all looking forward. The Navy is ready.
I know. I can't wait to see
Maybe we'll see the baby.
Ooh.
I was just thinking the same, like, who's going to join her on the stage? ASAP Rocky?
Maybe.
Drake, maybe? I don't think so.
No.
But anyway, we're going to move on to fashion now. According to GQ, Jutes. Get ready for this. Jutes, or denim pants attached to boots, are the jeans of the future. I'm going to say no, but are you into this?
I'm in. Really?
Ryan,
are you into this? You're sporting a denim top.
When the notes came in this morning for the show, I was driving in, I made an emergency phone call to my partner, and I said, what the hell are Jutes? And so that's the first thing. Second thing, I'm not going to say no because I said no to overalls. I'll never wear those, wore them.
Yeah.
I'm never wearing Lululemon tight sweatpants. Got 3 pairs.
Yeah.
And I'm not wearing tight skinny jeans ever, and I'm wearing a pair now. So I can't wait to get Jutes. Oh, I can't wait.
absolutely hate them. I hate them so much.
What do you hate about them?
It already is making me upset because everyone who's had that experience of wearing like a slightly higher boot, even just around the knees, and trying to take them off, it makes you so sweaty, so hot. I have been angry at the life and my choices from just a high boot. So you gonna put a pant onto that? I'm telling you, we are gonna have a whole bunch of very angry women and men who choose to wear them.
Really?
Think about all the other decisions and choices you don't have to think about.
Thank you.
Right? Like, you don't have to wear, like, socks. Up to you if you want to wear them. What about my shoes matching my outfit? That takes, like, 20 minutes every morning in my house. Does this match? You don't have to worry about it because they're built right into the pants.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
First of all, as Canadians, it's a Canadian tuxedo. So I don't know why we're all hating. Like, we should be loving this, right? But I was told a long time ago, fashion-wise, if you want to elongate the body, look slimmer, you wear your shoes and your pants should be the same
color.
A monochromatic look. So I'm like, this is right up my alley, the jute. I need a jute. I needed a jute 10 years ago. I love this idea of it all being one. I love denim. And it's, listen, there are a lot of trends.
You'll be hot and angry, I tell you. Like hot as in you will look good.
No. I hear what you're saying, but you know I walk around with a fan. I do walk around with my own fan. People don't know that. I do walk around with a fan, so I will have my fan on hand.
Okay.
But I love the whole idea. Listen, there are a lot of trends out there. They want us to wear thongs outside our pants again. Like, there are other trends to get more angry about. I'll do a jute.
This one looks good. I'm going to call back. I don't often credit her for fashion moments that I enjoy, but Kim K was wearing the jutes a la Balenciaga. This was like 6 years ago. And she's been doing it strong.
That's not a jute.
Yes,
that
it is.
That's a stretchy.
That's
no,
a stretch. That's tight.
That no, it's the same
tight.
Idea.
No,
where
it's
the
not.
Boot
it's
and
not
the pant is
pant.
Built in.
No.
Yes,
no.
That's
all
that's
one.
A jute.
That's a shootie.
Like, no,
that's
they call that a
jute.
It's a shootie.
All these terms,
thing.
I'm confused.
Okay.
I can't keep up with fashion terms.
I need
terms
to call
anyways.
My partner. What is a shootie?
What is a shootie?
What is a shootie?
We can't keep up.
We have a very important conversation to get to because women in Iran continue to demonstrate following the death of 22-year-old Mahsa Amini, who died in the custody of the morality police. She was detained for allegedly not wearing her hijab properly. So I want to get your reaction to this story, Ryan. Cynthia, I'll start with you.
I mean, I was watching along with the rest of the world these videos of women burning their hijabs, and the benefit of living in a world where social media connects us all is that people are seeing this. The terrifying thing is that these women put themselves out there in this way, and I'm just thinking about how now is there potentially a target on their back. We know people use video footage to find people.
Mm-hmm.
They used this during the January 6th insurrection. So that was used for good to find people. In this case, it terrifies me to think of the possible consequences. You know, it's interesting to think these rules around the wearing of the hijab only has been around since the 80s. 81, I believe, was the time when they came into effect. And since then, there have been lots of protests sporadically at times from women. As recently as 2019, there was actually a woman who set herself on fire after she was arrested for attending a men's soccer game. And the world heard about this story.
This was in Iran?
This was in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And the world heard about this story and they reacted. So bowing to government pressure, now in Iran, women can attend men's soccer games. Now they are relegated to a particular area. But that's an example of global interest in a story making an impact and having some amount of change. It's tiny when you compare. I think of that as a positive effect. But then I think about Afghanistan. And when you think about the many, many years and the amount of money and the amount of deaths that have occurred while trying to make an impact on a change of an environment. Mm-hmm. And now what do we have? We have young women who aren't allowed to go back to school,
mm-hmm.
right? So I think these things happen in tiny changes. It doesn't mean people shouldn't be speaking out. People should be speaking out. I understand that Canada just put on some sanctions. Like, the world needs to be talking about this, and men need to be talking about this.
Men need to be talking about
this
as well, absolutely. But I think, you know, I ask myself, and I my sister is dating someone who is from Iran, and he has sisters, et cetera. And, you know, I think to myself, they're in Canada now, and I think, what is the broader scope of this? Why, you know, do women or should women mm-hmm. in countries like Canada care and stand up in solidarity with women in Iran? And I think in my mind, there's two reasons for that.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I think it was one Hillary Clinton who said, an attack on women's rights is an attack on all human rights.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
so it's not a woman thing. It's a human rights issue. Mm-hmm. But secondly, when we stand up in solidarity with women's rights, which feel like they are increasingly being stripped, not just in Iran or Afghanistan, mm-hmm. United States of America, yep. it starts to feel like, you know what? If we do not stand up to use our voices to protect all women across the world, we have a very bleak future potentially ahead of mm-hmm. us. And I've got a daughter and I need to be teaching her the ways. But I also think that standing up in solidarity in this case with Persian women is to also remind ourselves mm-hmm. that freedom is never free. Mm-hmm. It constantly needs to be defended. Mm-hmm. And it is also a reminder to whatever government is sitting in this country, we are here. You see that we are upset about that? Don't you dare think of touching our rights here yep. because we are here. Yep. So the visibility, it's about visibility that you do that. That country is feeling worldwide pressure, I think, that hopefully, maybe will make a difference. Mm. So you stand up for your sister wherever she is in the world because you hope that she stands up for you if something happens.
Absolutely. It's very interesting. As a journalist, I'm looking at this story and it reminds me so much of George Floyd, where you have a situation where there's video. Video is so key. When there's no video, people can easily forget about a person and their name never even becomes a hashtag. And the video of this young woman collapsing, much like the video of George Floyd begging for his life. And then all of a sudden it sparks. But prior to that, there were so many people who were incarcerated and killed by the government and police and all of this nonsense that was going on. But it's this one person that enacts all of this change. And we're seeing, like you said, like everybody has said, we're seeing this huge reaction. Women are burning their hijabs. They're saying, you know, they're speaking out, they're covering their hair, they're doing everything. But then also, I think it's about the way that the rest of the world reacts to Iran, I think is very important. Like just recently, CBS correspondent Leslie Stahl did an interview with the president of Iran, Ibrahim Raisi, and there were rules. A lot of stipulations. She had to have her head covered. She could not sit down before him. She could not interrupt him. And she did all of those things to have that interview. And it was that interview actually happened the week that Amini was murdered. And she did bring up the fact that there were all of these rules. Of course, he did not address it. Then just a few days later, Christiane Amanpour from CNN was supposed to also interview him. And she did not bow down to those rules. And guess what? He didn't show up. So I think there's also a call to action for journalists also to not bow down to these rules when you're interviewing these leaders who are enacting these horrible things and resulting in the death of a young woman because she's showing a little bit of hair outside of her headscarf. And so it's going to be interesting. I'm cautiously optimistic that there will be change, but we're talking about something that is woven into the fabric of a culture and a people, and it's not going to be so easy as to have one protest and everything's, like, we know that's not going to just happen overnight. I am worried for the women who are speaking out because they've now shut down their social media, so no one can, because this is the way that we are all knowing about this story, right? So they shut it down, and that makes me worry for the women who are in those countries.
Because the last time that happened, when they shut down the internet, there are reports that up to 1,500 people were murdered in protests.
And that's, because here's, yeah.
So there's the darkness that kicks in.
The movement, because yeah. I feel like we think that when there's protests that they will listen, and it's like, I feel like in older regimes, it's like, no, they're going to tighten. They're going to shut down all of that free speech, tighten, and then they're going to really reprimand anybody who spoke up and their families and intimidate so it doesn't happen again. So we have, it was too early to see, to say what's going to happen, but I'm really very worried for the women in that country, mm-hmm. although I am behind them 100% in their protesting because what happened was heinous and disgusting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, this country, we are relatively comfortable. Right? Most of us generally know where our next meal is coming from. And I talk a lot about in my work, you know, what is Canadian culture? How do we define ourselves as Canadian? Mm-hmm. And it used to be Don Cherry on Saturday nights and snow machines and pickup trucks, right? And this country needs to continue to create an environment that upholds people's rights, mm-hmm. Women's rights, human rights, and it has to inspire the rest of the world. But we are not free of this conversation here. Bill C-21 in Quebec, right, calling on public servants to not wear the hijab inside of their own workplace. Mm-hmm. Like, this conversation is here, too. And so we, like, as Canadians, like to say, well, you know, we're doing okay here. Mm-hmm. No. And so, to me, when people's rights are slowly eroded and taken away, we need to stop that. We need to stomp that out and call it what it is. Mm-hmm. And this type of extremism in our own backyards needs to be called for what it is. And this country is not free of it. And these ideologies are here. Mm-hmm. And it's time for this country it's always time for this country to continue to check in, to talk about what's important to us here, mm-hmm. to inspire the world in the ways that Canada has in the past.
Absolutely. So here's a question that may divide the internet. Are we burned out on pumpkin spice?
No.
Oh, okay. Divided in here too. There's a survey that was done back in August and it found that 37% of Americans in this case are already tired of the pumpkin spice. That was in August? Wait, what? I'm confused. Ryan, where do you stand? Pumpkin spice, yay or nay?
Pumpkin spice, nay. I just want to say, we talk about big pharma all the time. We need to start talking about big pumpkin. Because they win every time we talk about their dumb lattes. And I'm on a budget. Interest rates and mortgage rates are going up. I'm trying to buy a house and make renovations happen. And I'm going straight black Americanos, me and my partner. No shots of extra anything, no sweet. Just give me black coffee.
Okay.
It's disgusting.
Oh, wow.
It's okay. So gross.
Wait a minute. It doesn't just come in the coffee form. There's pumpkin spice candles.
Everything.
There's pumpkin spice, like,
Everything.
Oh, there's some real haters in here.
Yeah.
I know, for me, it's just like October is, it's a changing season. And it's one of my favorite months. It's my birthday month. It's Halloween. And there's something about the smell of, it smells like cozy fires. It smells like, you know, like you want to like
It smells like a baker broke into the house. Why is our security camera not? I think there are a group of bakers that have broken into the house.
I don't understand all the hatred for the pumpkin spice. I love it. Yeah. Right? The cloves, the ginger, and I feel like it's this time of the year, especially we have fall in Canada that's so beautiful. And if I don't have a shacket on and some over-the-knee boots with a warm pumpkin spice, is it even fall? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just one of those things that you just do. I don't do it every single day, but of course, I don't see what the hatred is.
You know what it is? It's because I feel like it's so like, you know, maybe it is an aesthetic. You know, someone in the audience just said the smell and for some people the taste. To me, it's like eggnog. Like, I don't get eggnog, but it comes around once a year and I'm like, I don't get the eggnog.
We need to have an eggnog discussion.
But for me, October or September, it's butternut squash season, obviously.
You're not going to get a butternut squash candle.
Latte.
Or a butternut squash latte.
It is my favorite soup to smell in a kitchen. My mother makes a killer butternut squash. I'm like, it's October. That's what
I feel
like. You
know what? Good point. I will say you make a good point because I don't know why I'm separating the squash and the pumpkin
don't
are
divide
relatives.
The gourds.
I don't know why I'm
okay.
Don't
do that.
You're fair.
Butternut squash lattes for everyone. Let's get it going.
Ryan, this has been a blast to have you. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to have you in person.
Thank you.
Subscribe to the Social Podcast so you don't miss a fiery debate. Until next time, socialites.